The Super Committee is running out of time to make cuts. Or is it?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. We've been spending a lot of time in recent weeks talking about the debt problems in Europe, but we're less than 2 weeks away from the deadline set by Congress to make big cuts in our budget here in the U.S. I'm talking about the work of the so-called Super Committee, which is tasked with identifying $1.2 trillion in cuts over 10 years by November 23rd. But as Marketplace's David Gura reports, you might want to take that deadline with a grain of salt.
The question really is whether the Super Committee's deadline is a deadline at all. Some lawmakers have asked if it could get more time to come up with a plan. Others want to change the very law that created this whole thing, nullifying hundreds of billions of dollars of automatic cuts. Amid all that, it's hard to be optimistic. Jim Kessler of Third Way, a centrist think tank, still holds out hope.
There might be a bit of a focusing of the mind in Congress in which members are saying, we need to get something done because we are so unpopular right now that I can only count on my second cousin voting for me, and that's about it.
In Washington, the deadline might not be as hard and fast as it was at the beginning. Erskine Bowles, who co-chaired President Obama's deficit commission, told the Super Committee there's growing concern outside the Capitol about what'll happen if there is no deal.
I'm worried you're going to fail. Fail the country.
Jim Kessler of Third Way paints a picture of what failure could look like.
There is, I believe, a certainty that this nation's credit rating will be downgraded by the remaining credit rating agencies, and I think that's a disaster for this country.
Former Senator Alan Simpson, who worked alongside Erskine Bowles, says this wouldn't just be a disaster for big government.
The interest rates will go up, inflation will go up by the failure, and guess who gets hurt? The little guy.
And besides all that, any cuts wouldn't take effect until 2013, which is after a new Congress is elected. And that Congress, obviously, has the power to rewrite laws, including this one. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Well, President Obama heads to Hawaii today for the apex summit of 21 economies along the Pacific Rim. And Japan this morning said it would participate in talks to build a free trade zone among those nations. Nine countries are on board so far, including the United States. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher across Europe and Asia this morning, up about 0.6% right now in London. The Italian Senate has just passed the economic reform bill that Europe is demanding. Once it passes the lower house of parliament, Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi says he'll quit. And in Libya today, there's word of some economic progress. Egypt Air will resume flights to Tripoli next week. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 112 points to close at 11,893.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering IRA savings products and a Raise Your Rate 4-year CD. Learn more at allybank.com. By Constant Contact, in support of Small Business Saturday and small businesses every day of the week. Learn more at constantcontact.com/Saturday. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com.
Well, today is Veterans Day, which means, among other things, the post office is closed. Its competitors, FedEx and UPS, are open. You can't really blame the Postal Service. It's expected to announce next week that it lost $10 billion this year. Congress is trying to figure out what to do. We're going to get thoughts on that and more now from Scott Davis. He's the CEO of UPS, and he joins us from Atlanta. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, I want to first ask you about the U.S. Postal Service, the financially troubled U.S. Postal Service. Should it be saved?
Well, I think certainly we have a need for the U.S. Postal Service in this country. They have plenty of challenges today, as we all know. But you know, our relationship with the Postal Service is unusual. We're both a competitor, as you know, but we're also a customer and a vendor. In some areas where the population is not too dense, we will use them for that last mile delivery. And at the same time, we do fly some of their packages around the country. We're customers of each other, as well as being competitors.
Well, what do you think can be done with them? I mean, is there a solution to this other than just getting rid of service all over the place, raising prices?
One of the challenges, frankly, that they have is the universal service and the cost to deliver letters in places like South Dakota and Alaska are far more than the 44-cent stamp. You know, some of those letters may cost you $50 to deliver in Alaska, and they get paid 44 cents.
How's business for you right now at UPS?
It's solid right now. I think the economy, while not growing fast in the United States, is growing. It has stabilized some. I think over the last 4 to 6 weeks, Jeremy, we've seen improving economic signs both in manufacturing and in retail sales. As we head to our peak season, there's cautious optimism among our customers at this point in time.
Cautious optimism. I mean, we do look at companies like UPS and FedEx as bellwethers of the economy. But frankly, even as you guys have seen an uptick in shipping over the last couple of years, jobs really haven't been growing very rapidly in the U.S.
Well, no, that's been a problem. We're not growing the economy fast enough to reduce unemployment. I've been a pretty outspoken advocate on the need to grow exports out of this country. Today, only 1% of small and medium-sized enterprises export goods, and the fact is 95% of consumers are outside the U.S. So we have to do a better job growing exports if we're going to reduce unemployment.
What are people going to be shipping in 5 or 10 years? I mean, are letters even going to be shipped anymore, or is that all going to be electronic and it's just going to be stuff?
There'll still be some letters out there. I think if you asked this question, Jeremy, 10 years ago, we probably would have said, yeah, there's going to be a lot less, in 2011. The same thing goes as we look 5 and 10 years ahead from now. You're going to see much less in the way of letters and documents being shipped, because they'll be done more electronically. The beauty of our business, though, is we ship off a lot of packages. They're not digital.
Not yet, anyway.
So unless they come up with some new technology, we'll be shipping packages for the foreseeable future.
Scott Davis is the CEO of UPS. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Jeremy, it was great. Thank you.
And finally to Sweden, where the transit authorities are grappling with a new kind of freeloader, pigeons. Apparently, a flock of clever and hungry pigeons are sneaking past the turnstiles, waiting for the subway train, boarding the train, and then getting off at the next stop, which just happens to be home to a mall with lots of food. Why they ever go home remains a mystery. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
You want to know why the European Union works such as it does? Think about France and Germany and World War II.
You have two countries that want to find some way to commit to each other that they're never going to go to war against each other again. What better way than to combine your coal and steel industries?
I'm Kai Rizdal. The European debt crisis, how the past determines the now. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.